Hello again, this is Mike O'Connor, second in the ongoing series of geezer casts coming at you from the farm in Wisconsin. And the song in the background features a new gizmo that I got this week that I've been having a great time with. It's called Jamsticks. I was thinking about you, my grandchildren, out in the 50-year future and thinking that gizmos like this will probably be commonplace. Well, they will be commonplace by then. I was thinking about the difference between the way we make music now and the way we made it 50 years ago, and thinking that if a comparable amount of change happens, this Jamsticks gizmo will be so crude. But for me, it's pretty neat. This is a drumming system that basically jams along with you. It listens to how hard you're playing the keyboard, and it listens to what key you're playing in, and it listens to what notes you're playing, and it tries to figure out what rhythm to put with it. And for this tune, I pretty severely restricted what it was allowed to do, so it doesn't have a whole lot of variability in it. And I also told it to put a break, a fill, every four measures so that I could play my little 12-bar. This is clearly just a little 12-bar warm-up tune. And, God, I've been just having a great time with it. But I was thinking, you know, 50 years ago, the sort of radical new music was something called musique concrète, which was a French term that was a guy named Pierre Schaeffer, and soon thereafter another guy named Pierre Henry started doing musique concrète in the early 50s, in which they would take recording tape and cut loops together. Basically, this was the precursor to a lot of the loop-based music that we've got today. But back then, they didn't have computers or any of the kind of stuff we've got now, and so they did it all with tape. And I was cruising all over the internet trying to find some examples of it, but it's hard to find. I've got tapes of it in the basement that I may resurrect sometime. If I do, I'll play some of them for you. But you think about where we've come. You know, the invention of the personal computer was 20 years later, and all this music software that we use today and sampling and all that kind of stuff that's represented in this Jamsticks thing. It's just amazing. And I'm imagining that 50 years from now, when you're listening to this, there will be all sorts of ways that you'll be able to interact with your instruments and make them do interesting things. But this Jamsticks thing is the first one that I've really run into that's good enough to play along with and not be super mechanical, so I've been having a great time this week just messing around with it. This was also a wonderful week on the political front. I can't imagine what it's going to be like 50 years from now. On my gloomy moments, I think that you've probably all moved out of the U.S. because the U.S. has gotten so goofy with all this sort of right-wing, religious, fundamentalist, brainless stuff that we seem to be doing. George Bush is certainly not the brightest president we've ever had, but I think it's also due to the fact that we seem to be running away from rationalism in this country. We seem to be heading into this sort of religious fog, and it's not just the Christians, it's all this sort of anti-science, anti-rationality stuff that's going on. And I hope we get over this phase, but if we don't, I imagine that you'll be gone, because this seems like the beginning of the end of an empire. But at least one good thing seems to be happening. The mayor's race in St. Paul is drawing to a close. I've got to go vote tomorrow. And the choice is between two Democrats. The incumbent's a guy named Randy Kelly. And my observation about Randy is that the mantle of power doesn't sit very gracefully on his shoulders. He's a pretty arrogant guy, and you know, he's really nice to you when he wants something, but when he's not needing anything from you. He can be pretty obnoxious. I ran into him a long time ago when I was testifying about telecommunications stuff up at the, at that time he was in the state senate. He's a nice enough guy, but oh man, he's a tough customer if you're on the opposite side of an issue from him. Anyway, he's been the mayor for the last 4 years, and he's, I think, done a pretty capable job. Actually, he's, you know, kept taxes down and services are in good shape and so on and so forth. But he endorsed President Bush during the last election campaign 2 years ago. And we Democrats just never forgave him for it. So a young guy, Chris Coleman, who was a city council person until a couple of years ago, is running against Randy. And the polls right now, at least in the weekend papers, show that Chris has got something on the order of a 40% lead over Coleman, so, or over Kelly. So it looks like the vote's going to come in sort of 70-30 in favor of this guy. Now, you know, it's pretty unusual for us to boot an incumbent out, but I think that Democrats, especially in Minnesota, are getting so frustrated with this Republican angst that we've got, where we've got, you know, corruption and political cronyism and all kinds of stuff, especially going on in Washington, but also going on in the state. Norm Coleman, our state senator, was a good guy, but he read the tea leaves and decided that being a Democrat was a no-win proposition, so he switched over to being a Republican and got elected to the Senate, where he is a complete lackey for the president, as far as I can tell. And there just seems to be this sort of Republican momentum, you know, this, I don't know, it's just, it drives me nuts. But I found a book this week by my favorite author, a guy named Carl Hiaasen, who our friend Richard Mahler, who Richard O'Connor is named after, first turned me on to Carl. And I thought I would just read a couple of quotes from his latest book, which just came out. It's called Skinny Dip. And the first quote is describing a farmer who figures large in the book. This is a sort of a semi-detective, semi-romance book in which this guy, Red Hammernut, Carl is not shy about using great last names. Red is one of the evildoers. He's one of the characters that motivates most of the bad behavior in the book. And here's a quote where he's listening to one of his henchmen in this thing. He thought of the many blessings that had come his way, but also the toil. A big farming operation like his was a challenging enterprise, relying as it did on rampant pollution and systematic mistreatment of immigrant labor. For Red, it was no small feat to keep the feds off his back while at the same time soaking taxpayers for lucrative crop subsidies and dirt-cheap loans that might or might not be repaid this century. He reflected on the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he'd handed out as campaign donations, the untallied thousands more for straight-up bribes, hookers, private yacht charters, gambling stakes, and other discreet favors. And finally, the countless hours of ass-kissing he'd been forced to endure with the same knuckle-headed politicians whose loyalties he'd purchased. Now, you know, this is a book of fiction, but in fact, it's pretty accurate. Carl Hiaasen is a reporter and a columnist for a Florida newspaper. If I was really clever, I'd be able to tell you which one, but I can't right offhand. And I think he's telling the truth. I really think that right now we've got the best darn government money can buy. And so it's one small blow for something else when we just smack the mayor down real good here in St. Paul. I hope we just kick his butt and send a message that says, look, you know, this country isn't about what the Republicans seem to think it's about, and it's time to change it. Now, I've got another quote for you. One of the protagonists in a lot of Carl Hyacinth's books is an ex-governor of Florida, a fictional guy who got so sick of the corruption and all that he just ran away one day. And he hangs out in swamps, and periodically in all of Carl's books comes to save the day. And here's a quote where this guy named Skink, who I don't think is named in this book, but we who read all of Carl's books know his name is Skink, is talking to one of the bad guys. And he's saying to Chaz, "Understand, I'm not a well person. I'm muddling through a rough spell at the moment," the man said. "For instance, I've got a hunch that you don't even marginally resemble H.R. Haldeman, Bob, they used to call him in the White House." Chaz said he didn't know who that was. Well, he's an arrogant, perjuring, justice-obstructing shitweasel who worked for the 37th President of the United States of America, an amoral maggot in his own right, stranger related. Somewhat testily. So there you go. That's sort of Geezer Cast, the first real Geezer Cast, just events of the week. A few little quotes. I'm going to take it out with the tail end of this little song that I build around jam sticks. Show you how good the drumming is, and also show you how bad I am at endings. I've never been any good at endings on songs, and so I apologize in advance, but there you go, and I'll see you the next time.